Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
My name is Kit.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things with another patron-demanded episode. This time, it's 1987's Spaceballs.
Spaceballs!
From Mel Brooks.
Oh, yeah. This was demanded specifically by patron of the show, Jason Hawkins.
Oh, from the city of the Stranger Things is based in?
Yeah.
Wow.
Also, brother of Sadie Hawkins.
Oh.
Of the titular Sadie Hawkins dance.
Wow, you've got such a pedigree. Thank you so much.
It's a storied family, those Hawkins.
That's right. Thank you for choosing this film. Big fan of this movie as a kid. Haven't seen it in a long time, so it was fun to revisit. If you've never listened to the show before, what we're going to do is we'll talk about our overall thoughts, go back and forth. And then typically we do kind of a play-by-play, scene-by-scene. We'll do our best. This is one of those goofier movies to do that kind of thing with. But we've seen it so many times. Should be easy to do. Lots of fun stuff to talk about. Steve, I can imagine this is quite a treat for you as such a Star Wars fan. Would you say that you were a delighted Spaceballs fan because of that as well? Is this something that has a storied history with you?
This movie does have a storied history in my life. In fact, I just want to step aside for a second and point out how funny I think it is that we're reviewing Spaceballs before reviewing any of the Star Wars movies.
I know. I still think we've never talked about the Star Wars. That's funny.
I know. It's just so, because I'm such a huge fan of Star Wars. But Spaceballs, as it is, was a movie that got a lot, and I mean a lot of play at my house. Growing up, there was a point in my life where I'm not joking when I say I had the entire movie memorized front to back. I could literally sit there and just quote the movie from beginning to end because I watched it that many times and knew it so well. And obviously, a lot of the love I have for it does stem from the fact that I am such a huge Star Wars fan. And this is the parody, the type of parody movie that is done right, where and Mel Brooks is like the best at it.
Yeah.
Because not only he is parodying something, but he's parodying it in a way that is so respectful and has such reverence for the material that they are parodying. And I think that just makes the movie fun. It makes it's not mean-spirited, which a lot of parodies I feel like can kind of dip into that mean-spiritedness.
Yeah, you don't sense a disdain for Star Wars watching this movie.
Yeah,
I know what you mean.
It's having fun with the property, and I think that's so quintessential for enjoying a parody movie. And also, if you really kind of step back, even if it wasn't directly making fun of Star Wars, it does have a fairy tale story of its own that works, right? So even without all the jokes about a very specific property, it has a story that works on its own. And I think that's really, really great. And, you know, there's a lot of funny things in this movie. Like, I haven't seen this movie in years, right? I used to watch it all the time as a kid. I have not seen it in probably 15 years at least.
Yeah.
And I was just having just a rush of nostalgia just constantly hitting me, like, oh yeah, that line was funny. I quote that all the time. Like, I think I've quoted this movie a ton on this show because I've quoted, like, when you're right, you're right. And you're always right. Like, I say that type of shit all the time. And I bet she gives great helmet. The whole, like, give me paw. That's something my mom and I used to do when I was growing up. Like, when we were just driving around and something cool would happen, my mom would be like, give me paw. And we'd be like, arr, arr, arr. This is such a fun time. I'm so thankful to Jason for suggesting this movie because I loved going down memory lane with this one. What about you, man?
Next week, we're reviewing Blue Harvest. We're going to keep it going. Are you a fan?
Yeah, I love Blue Harvest, yeah. Baby.
Because it's got the guy with the popsicles guy as Obi-Wan.
The popsicles guy?
Yeah. And I got some popsicles.
Oh, the Herbert, the pervert.
Yeah.
Got some popsicles?
Yeah, that guy.
He's the false Luke. It's in my pocket. Just reach on in there and fish it out.
He's a gem, that guy. I was a big fan, too, but it's funny because I wasn't a Star Wars fan as a kid but it was like at the time, retroactively, people like them now because that's how the fandom works. But at the time, nobody liked the prequels.
Oh, yeah.
Grew up on the prequels. I liked the prequels, but not so much the originals as a kid.
Blasphemy.
I had like pod racing toys and stuff. And
Wizard.
But I liked Spaceballs a lot, especially as like a young teen. Like, as soon as I started smoking pot and stuff, it was one, you know, we ain't found shit. You know, like, I would say that all the time. Like, I liked parodies. I like Scary Movie. Mm-hmm. I think the analog to the Mel Brooks canon, the best analog would be Mike Myers and the stuff that he was doing with specifically Austin Powers and the James Bond franchise.
Spy movies, yeah.
Yeah. Because, I think those are goofy and hilarious, but they're not shitting on people that like spy movies or anything.
Yeah.
I'm just a big fan of Spaceballs and Mel Brooks' oeuvre in general. We reviewed Robin Hood Men in Tights pretty recently.
Tights.
Which came out 6 years after this movie.
Wow, really?
Yeah, it's a 1993 film, I believe.
Oh, I didn't, you're right. I didn't put that together. To me, Robin Hood Men in Tights just feels like a movie that would come up before Spaceballs.
And it's interesting. It's got that wizened woman protecting the princess's virginity bit as in both movies.
Yeah.
And so he's just stuck on that, I guess. But also, it's interesting to imagine this movie in 1987. I mean, Star Wars has always been popular since 1977, but this has got to be like a height of fever. It's 4 years after Return of the Jedi. Mm-hmm. People are craving for more content or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know if any of those now decanonized books were out yet, but they're probably being written.
I'm sure Splinter of the Mind's Eye at least was out at that point. Maybe the Thrawn trilogy is starting to come out.
The Thrawn stuff's being cooked up. Everybody's chomping at the bit for the comics and all that stuff. So they were probably, I didn't look at how successful Spaceballs was.
Okay,
was it?
So the Thrawn trilogy was not out until 91.
There you go.
So I did look up, this movie had an estimated budget of around $22.7 million and grossed a little over $38 million during its run in the U.S.
Mm.
So not like a runaway hit.
But probably like a video hit.
Yeah, I think this movie definitely probably, it's a cult classic. Everybody loves Spaceballs. I haven't met a single person who hates this movie.
No, nobody hates Spaceballs or any Mel Brooks movie, really. Unless you're just not into like slapstick comedy, right?
Yeah, if you're not into slapstick, it probably wouldn't work for you. But oh my gosh,
if you just hate Michael Winslow and you're a terrible person.
Who hates Michael Winslow? The man's an institution. He's a national treasure.
Yeah.
On the DVD commentary of Spaceballs, Mel Brooks is, you get to Michael Winslow's scene and Mel Brooks is like, oh yeah, he does all the, you know, it's Michael Winslow.
Yeah.
What he does. He's like, yeah, he saved us $1,000 because we didn't have to put the sound effects in.
That's like, you hire him to save money.
Yeah. Yeah. You're getting returns when you hire Michael Winslow for sure.
But I was telling you before we started recording, like, I had forgotten that the president from Independence Day was the main character of this movie. Bill Pullman.
Yeah. Relatively unknown at this time, Bill Pullman.
Yeah. And it's interesting to see him, his comedy chops.
He's hilarious.
He's good.
I think he's so, like, he's very good at, his facial expressions are incredible in this movie. Like, every time Barf's tail, hits him in the cockpit, like the many different ways his face reacts to it is hilarious.
And you're playing alongside John Candy. You know, that's a tough spot to be in. And Mel Brooks, of course, fucking Joan Rivers as the C-3PO. Dot Matrix. There we go.
So Dot Matrix is actually played by a different woman. I'm trying to bring her name up, but so they filmed the entire movie with this different woman who's in the suit. And I guess it was kind of a situation where like she doesn't have a good comedy voice, according to Mel Brooks.
It was like Scarlett Johansson and her kind of thing.
Yeah, where they filmed the whole movie with her. And he's like, she's such a great physical comedian in that suit. She did such a great job, but her voice wasn't there. So they hired Joan Rivers. So all of Joan Rivers' lines were added in after they filmed the entire movie.
Huh.
It's the actress that physically plays Dot Matrix is an actress named Laureen Yarnell Jansen.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Were there any jokes? Because you said you haven't seen it in 15 years. I probably haven't seen it in 20, not to one-up you. not to five-up you. Were there any jokes where you were like, I 100% did not get that when I was 12?
Oh, 100%. So the last time I saw this movie, I was in my late teens.
I was probably 15, maybe.
And I remember watching it in my late teens. And the whole, I bet she gives great helmet line went completely over my head as a kid. I had no idea. Like, it didn't even occur to me, like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
Why would she wear a helmet? Oh, well.
Yeah.
But as a teenager, I'm like, cyclist? Ah, dicks.
Yeah. I didn't get a joke until last night.
Really?
Because, like I said, I was 15. I don't think I'd probably seen Alien. But I was definitely not like a film buff or anything.
Oh, you didn't
yet,
realize
right?
It was John Hurt?
I did not recognize. I'm sure I didn't. I don't know this for a fact. But watching it last night, I was like, oh, that's fucking John Hurt.
Yeah.
This is hilarious. And they hired like a Sigourney Weaver stand in and all kinds of shit to stand there with her or with him. And the whole Alien bit.
Oh, no, not again.
Yeah. Which is great.
Oh, there was a joke that I picked up on last night that I had never before. It was the snotty, like, lock one, lock two, lock three, Loch Lomond.
Oh, yeah, the Scottish guy?
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
Loch Lomond was something that never hit until last night. I'm like, oh,
especially
funny.
With
He's
subtitles
Scottish.
On and it switches to L-O-C-H.
Yeah.
Just real subtle stuff that it benefits from rewatching. But I think those are the two major things. Everything else is pretty silly. And you're right. They do have Dot Matrix listed. With both actresses here. I didn't notice that. Everything else is pretty straightforward, I think.
Do you know how they came to call the movie Spaceballs or got to the word Spaceballs?
I mean, it's so random that that's like the alien species and everything, but no.
I fucking love this story. So apparently the original title for the movie was supposed to be called Planet Moron, which, you know, kind of on the nose, right? But they had to change... attack because as they're writing the movie, they became aware there's already a British science fiction movie called Morons from Outer Space.
Mm.
And so they're like, that's too close to the... So they were sitting down. It was Mel Brooks, Ronnie Graham, and Thomas Meehan, the three writers of this movie, one of which is actually the priest. I think that's Ronnie Graham is the priest. So they're all sitting in a room and they're going through the alphabet and basically like, okay, the first word is space and then we need another word. And so they're just coming up with random ass words, space, whatever. And then at one point, I think it was Mel Brooks spilled his drink and he just goes, balls. And Ronnie Graham goes, space balls. And that's how they came up with the title of the movie.
Genius.
Someone spilling a drink and yelling balls.
That's so interesting. Because
I love how humans come up with things. It's so great.
Balls was a curse word that my dad used, and I've never heard another human being use it that way.
Oh, really?
Like if he stubbed his toe or something, he would go balls. And in fact, he would like burp speak. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So he would like be like going through the fridge, belch, and then in the middle of his belch, say balls. And like that was my dad's thing. He would do that every day. We used to read this fantasy series together, the Sword of Truth series by Terry Goodkind. And one of the characters, the wizard in that, his expletive is bags. Bags! Found it! And bags, of course, sack, balls. My dad loved that because he's like, I say balls! And he says a wizard version of balls.
Bag!
Anyway, so that's entirely believable that Mel Brooks would spill his drink to me and say balls.
I had a teacher in high school that would call people bag. He'd be like, don't be a bag.
Oh, well.
We never really knew what he meant by that.
And that's what he means. A sack.
A sack.
Stop being such a fucking sack. Sit in your seat. Because nobody likes balls. We've talked about this before.
Yeah, nobody likes balls.
It's not a good thing to be.
But Spaceballs we do like.
That's right. It's a good movie. Mm-hmm. I had a good time with it. I picked out a lot of my favorite jokes as we go through. The plot's pretty straightforward. Like, you've got your Han Solo character, which is Lone Star. Barf is Chewie, right?
Yeah.
Princess Leia is Princess Vespa.
C-3PO dot Matrix.
And obviously, Dark Helmet is Darth Vader.
Yeah.
But really,
President Scroob is the Emperor.
Oh, you think so?
Well, I mean, he's the higher up to Darth Vader.
That's fair. I didn't put that together.
And, oh, another joke I didn't realize until last night. Scroob is Brooke spelled backwards.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that until just now.
Because it's Mel Brooks.
Yeah. But the plot's very different from Star Wars, you know? So it's not like an all-out war in this movie, though. Like, they want to steal the oxygen from their planet. Like, the Spaceball planet wants the oxygen from whatever her planet's called.
Planet Druidia.
Druidia,
so Planet Spaceball has an air crisis. That's all we need. Planet Spaceball has, you know, absorbed all, they've used all their air and they're facing a crisis, so they want the 10,000 years of air underneath the air shield of Planet Druidia.
And President Scroob has that Perrier that he's hoarding in his office. Ah.
That was bottled on Druidia. Did you notice that? I noticed that this time around.
No.
Like, on the logo it says bottled in Druidia. So of course they want that air.
Oh, they're already outsourcing chronic air.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they've built an atmosphere holder around their planet that has to be hacked into, or you have to have the code.
Yeah. There's only one way to enter in or out of that planet.
But there's also like a classic princess love, like a Disney type plot where Princess Vespa does not want to marry Prince Valium.
Great name.
He's a pill.
He's always sleepy. Where have you been?
Yeah, he didn't even notice she was gone. So she leaves the wedding and gets intercepted by, oh, and then there's Pizza the Hut. Perhaps the best joke in this movie.
Pizza the Hut. You're delicious.
He got locked in a car and ate himself
to death. What a gross puppet.
Pizza it's disgusting.
It's disgusting.
It doesn't look remotely delicious. And he's got that guy that like eats him, his buddy.
Vinny?
Yeah. Is that his name?
Yeah, Vinny.
Like that. What joke is that? Like,
pizza is going out for you. I don't know why he's talking like Scott Hall from WWE.
I think it's on purpose that he's like this Blues Brothers type guy, like gangster, but
I think he's supposed to be like the Boba Fett or like he doesn't look like him at all or do anything like Boba Fett, but I, you know, he's got a gangster that he works with.
Yeah,
that's
fair.
Jabba's bidding.
Yeah.
Such a gross puppet.
It's dripping. It's almost worse than Jabba.
It's 100% worse than Jabba.
But Jabba has that thing with his tongue, especially when he's getting choked.
Something about Pizza the Hut's tongue is even worse, and his dead human eyes.
And, but you can just see that it's a human in a suit, which almost makes it weirder.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Oh, man.
I also hate Barf's makeup. I just hate it.
The little doggy eye patch?
Yeah, the whole dog thing. Like, it's just in the, mostly the lipstick. Because you can just see that it's John Candy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's just like,
well, that's intentional. So there was, the original design for Barf had an actual almost like bulldog-esque face mask to it. But Mel Brooks was specifically like, I'm paying a lot of money for John Candy. I want to see John Candy.
Yeah.
So they went through like three different drafts of makeup for him. And eventually it just kept getting scaled down because Mel Brooks was like, I want to see John Candy.
Yeah, he's not Candy
I'm
enough.
I'm paying him. Like, why would it was very much like, why wouldn't I just pay someone else for much cheaper if we're not going to see him?
If we're just going to put somebody in a suit. That's fair.
But his the cool thing about his,
it's like Tom Hardy, but the opposite. They keep paying for Tom Hardy and just putting him in a mask. Fuck it.
Hello. the Barf costume does have like some animatronics to it, like his ears and his tail.
The tail, I would imagine. Yeah.
Apparently John Candy's controlling the tail. Like, he's got like a secret controller in his thumb. So John Candy's performing the tail in real time, but then there's like two other dudes who are controlling the ears off screen.
Forgive my naivete, but just to confirm, again, now watching it in my 30s, he's feeling up the waitress in that diner with his tail on purpose, right? Like, he's assaulting her and acting like he can't control the tail. That's the joke, right? Because Lone Star was like embarrassed, and he was like, ha, 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 "It does what it wants."
I don't think he was doing it on purpose. I think his tail does have a mind of its own, but he's also the kind of guy that's like, "Hoo hoo, but it's a lady." Whee!
He was just like,
"Happy accident."
Glad that happened. Kind of okay. Yeah, it's a little better.
Because when he's sitting there and his tail's wagging, he doesn't seem to really even know she's there. And when she says, "Hey, quit it," he does turn around like, "What? Oh, heh, sorry."
Yeah. Okay.
It is what
that's
it is.
Better. That's better. I'm just making sure.
But he is a hound dog. You know what I mean?
He is.
Did you know, like, again, this goes back to why this movie is, it loves the material that it's poking fun at, is before they even started filming, Mel Brooks sent the script to George Lucas and was like, hey, he's a gentleman, Mel Brooks. He sent him the script. It was basically like, hey, if there's anything you find offensive, please let me know. I'll take it out. And George Lucas was like, I think this is really funny. and because he sent that to George Lucas first, George Lucas was like, well, why don't you just use my company, Industrial Light and Magic? And so that's why the effects look so...
I was going to say the effects for what I was expecting this movie are like pretty decent.
Yeah, because they're working with the people who actually made Star Wars. So all the space stuff looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, it looks of the same quality of at least A New Hope.
Star Especially Wars. At the beginning, that whole bit with the like destroyer that goes on and on and on and on. That's such a bold way to start the movie, too, because it's like, da-da, okay. Da-da. And then it ends in that bumper sticker.
We break for no one.
There's a couple good bumper sticker gags.
It's one of those things where it keeps going to the point where like, okay, this is going on too long. And then it becomes funny again.
Yeah. Especially once you recognize what's going on. But that what I started to say is that ship looks really good.
Yeah. Spaceball one.
And some of the there's a couple times where like from a filmmaking perspective, I was like, oh, that's how they did that. Like when they destroy the ship and they take off in their own ship, talking about Lone Star and Barf. Barf's like leaning forward. And then when he presses go to get out of there, he like shoots back, right? But obviously what they did is just have John Candy lean in normal time and just speed it up.
Yeah.
It's clearly what it is. But it was like, if I was going to make a space movie, I was like, that's a brilliant way to do that. And it never would have occurred to me before. But now I kind of want to make a space movie and just do that trick.
I would love to. Or you do the thing like that's old Star Trek episodes would do where everyone's standing there when the ship, quote, gets hit. They all go, oh, and they just flop all over the set.
And then you just like jiggle the camera.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, shit. So I was watching a horror movie, Cube, that did that. Like every time the cubes, well, I won't spoil the movie, but they're in
Jennifer
a cube.
Lopez?
No,
oh, that's because of The Cell,
okay. Which is a low-key and awesome movie with Vincent D'Onofrio. But each of the individual cubes will shake, and like it's a low-budget horror movie, so you can tell that there's one room, and what they did was just shake the camera. You know what I mean? Like, but it's like a sci-fi channel type movie where you're like, that's obviously what they're doing, but it fucking works.
Yeah, it works.
Use
yeah.
your willingness suspension of, you know, willing suspension of disbelief.
Right.
It.
And the cool thing about this, the effects on this movie, apparently, because I was watching a behind the scenes documentary that was made in like I don't know, the late 90s, early 2000s. But they were saying how this movie had the largest green screen at the time.
This is pre-volume.
Yeah, this is pre-volume. But they were actually working with what was the largest blue screen. I'm sorry, not green screen. Blue screen ever made. And I think it was for that model shot. And I never heard of this before because so many movies have used blue screens. But I guess the technology was so new at the time. When they went on set with that giant, giant blue screen, they all thought, like the special effects people, all were worried that the blue screen and the human eye seeing just a giant blue screen would hurt your vision. So everyone on set was given like yellow tinted glasses to, quote, counteract the damage.
Tone down the blue.
Yeah, the damage that the blue screen
would
cause. Kind of
like how we use blue light glasses now.
Yeah, kind of. And like it's funny because Mel Brooks in the interviews talking about this, like, obviously we know now that's bullshit. But I had never heard of that before, that there was a concern that a giant blue screen would damage your eyes just being in that room. Like, it's so blue.
Had nobody ever been to the ocean before at this point?
I guess. No one ever looked at the sky.
Never without sunglasses. What do you think? I'm crazy? Do you think I got a death wish?
You fool.
Yeah, like the bullets look really good, like the laser bullets. I thought the fight, like especially when Vespa goes Rambo on all those guards, like
it's pretty good for Rambo.
It's like that's a cool kind of scene, like do.
The costume designing is phenomenal. And
Yogurt looks great.
Even like the different space ball, like the background characters, their uniforms like look amazing. I love how they all wear the same like belt buckle that has the President Scroob like dime belt buckle. The stormtroopers of the Spaceballs all have like butt pad
the butt
armor.
Cheeks.
Yeah. It's a really well done movie.
Yeah. One of my favorite gags is when Vespa escapes with Dot Matrix and they're sitting in the car right afterward and she's telling her, you need to go back and honor your father and marry this guy.
Just have a headache for 25 years.
And it looks like she just looks like Princess Leia and she's listening. But those are her headphones and she's listening to music.
What?
it's such a subversion.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite jokes. I'll go through a few of my favorites. How about that? We'll do that. Right off the bat, I am a pun whore. I'm a pun slut.
Oh, we all know that about you.
And there's a tiny moment at the end of The Crawl when it says something like, unbeknownst to the characters, but knowns to us. and I just, it's so stupid. I loved it so much. I got such a good chuckle. And then, of course, the eye exam bit at the end of that. If you can read this, your eyes are fine.
Your eyes are fine, yeah.
But yeah.
I love that. This movie also has some incredible line delivery.
Rick Moranis is a gem.
Talk about Rick Moranis, who is a gem. Like, he's a superstar. But even, like, some of the background characters, like, the way they deliver lines is so fucking funny.
We ain't found shit. That's my favorite moment.
Even the dude in the beginning when Rick Moranis puts on the ring for the first time and the one guy goes, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to go that hard on that line, but, dude, that fucking dude went hard.
I'm glad you did.
Oh, shit.
There's also the assholes bit.
Yeah.
He's an asshole.
Sorry, sir.
I know that, but what's his name? Oh, the cross-eyed guy. Yeah. Who made him a gunner? I did.
He's my cousin.
What's your name? He's an asshole. I know that, but what's his name?
Oh, that his name.
Yeah.
Major asshole.
How many assholes do we got here? Yo!
And like all but one person stands.
Yeah.
There's one asshole in the background.
They're all assholes.
I knew it. I'm surrounded by assholes. Like, that's such a funny little bit.
You also, you know, I love meta bits. And so there's the part where they're delivering exposition at the very beginning and they're going through their whole master plan. We're going to kidnap her and then suck all the air out. Da, 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 da. And then right as I'm thinking, that's so lazy just to have this dialogue explaining everything like that. Rick Moranis looks at the camera and goes, everybody got that? And I was like, good. That makes it okay.
Yeah.
Right away.
Got to call it out.
And then, of course, at one point, they literally watch the Spaceballs movie and fast forward it to see where the princess is.
When will then be now? Soon.
But you also get to see all of Mel Brooks's oeuvre on VHS in the closet there.
Yeah.
Right next to Blazing Saddles and stuff. There's a third meta thing that I'm forgetting.
The one that I like is when for a dramatic shot, he's like, only one man would dare give me the raspberries. And he closes his helmet and goes, Lone Star. And the camera pushes into.
Oh, and hits him.
And hits him and knocks him over.
Yeah.
And then everyone in the background just turns and looks at him for a second and then goes back to work.
Oh, no, there's a fourth one where during their climactic battle, Lone Star and Dark Helmet, they accidentally kill one of the sound guys.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes, oh, fuck. By the way, like the lightsaber graphics are pretty good, especially when they like, when they get like twisted up together.
This is gonna make me
look even more stupid than usual. But I don't know how they did, and I could just Google it and watch documentaries. But I don't know how they did computer graphics pre 1990.
It's honestly incredible.
They didn't even have operating systems on those computers. So I like what they were doing to make. Computer images, I just can't fucking fathom.
Well, I think they were doing old school.
Like, I don't know how to use an app to make them, but how do you type code?
Oh my God. It's so, I think they're rotoscoping. And if you ever want to know how tedious old school rotoscoping could be, just like look up how they made Tron. It just looks so batshit tedious because essentially you're just processing the same film strip over and over again, but like they'll take X-Acto knives and cut out like, okay, this is the part, like this is the lightsaber part. They'll cut that out and then they'll overexpose it in a certain color and then lay that on top of it. Frame by frame, they're like just, it's so insanely tedious. It had to take so long to do. I can't even describe it properly, but yeah, just look up how they made the original Tron, and you'll be like, I can't fathom doing that job. That sounds so ridiculous.
Yeah, I would have an anxiety attack.
Yeah.
Because I'm the kind of person where, like, tiny things that require intense focus, like, people find them meditative. Like, I enjoy building Legos, but at the same time, I will get, like, heart palpitations and stuff if I, like, focus my eyes on a tiny object too long. I can't even describe it without sounding insane. But, like, when I'm cutting my fingernails, like, I have to hurry because I'll get, like, short of breath and stuff because, like, that kind of focus hurts me physically.
No.
So being an animator is not my bag, for sure.
Baby.
Like, when people buy those... People buy those like adult coloring books to relax and shit.
Oh, yeah.
That is my hell.
That is my personal hell.
Or maybe it would benefit me because of my particular mental illness. I don't know. I should try it. I don't know. So that's just whenever I watch these older movies.
That's some content that you need to do is like just live stream yourself.
Just me on Twitch just coloring. Like, oh, I don't have the blue. Fuck. Just man rages at coloring book. Yeah, whenever I watch older movies, especially the original Star Wars and stuff, I'm like, I just don't understand. This is 1977. These are computer graphics. What computers? What are we talking about here? It's like when I was a kid, like I was like slightly pre-Windows for a minute. And like those computers were fucking useless unless, you know what I mean? Like when like chess was like, whoa. And it was just a 2D board. You know, we're talking Pong days. Or, you know,
Pong.
I don't know, man.
Man, it is incredible, like the lengths filmmakers went to get these special effects back in the day. It's truly just so innovative and neat. It's basically just a more elevated way of what you were kind of talking about of like shaking the camera. You're just doing very basic things layered on top of one another to hopefully get the effects you want. It's really, really, really awesome.
Did we figure out what song the Jawas were singing, the Dink Dinks? Dun, 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 dun. So in my head, dun, I dun. Literally wrote it down. I put Village People, because when they went dun, dun, I thought, young man.
There's no need to feel down, I say, young man.
And I was like, damn, these Dink Dinks are getting it. But no. But that is a famous, like, probably stock song or something, like nursery rhyme.
It's a version of the Colonel Bogey March by Lieutenant F.J. Ricketts.
Okay.
Let me play it.
So it's like a Civil War type thing.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Da, na, 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 na.
I recognized it when they were doing that, when they were humming it, but I was like, what the fuck is that? It was bothering me.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. It can be tough out there as we try to navigate the many twists and turns that life throws our way. Not every problem we face has an obvious or easy solution, but talking through these issues can always bring major benefits. So whether you're dealing with a career change, relationship help, or just getting used to your new normal, therapy helps you stay connected to what you really want while you navigate life, so you can move forward with confidence and excitement. I myself have benefited from therapy. I have benefited from BetterHelp. I was struggling to find myself and figure out who I was post-divorce. BetterHelp matched me with an amazing therapist who taught me all about codependency, what it was, and ways I can combat it and realize my whole true self. So if it sounds like therapy is the right move for you, then give BetterHelp a try. It's online, convenient, flexible, and can work with your schedule. Filling out a brief questionnaire is all it takes to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can switch therapists at any time. To start your own therapy journey, visit betterhelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/streamingthings. It's October, and along with the scares, we're bringing our own appreciation for the patrons of Streaming Things, the super patrons especially. We want to give them a special shout out for the month of October. Thank you so much to Becky the Farmer, Kaylee Sampson, Stanton Valentino, Sunshine, Huckleberry Cauliflower, Optimus, Mike from New Hampshire, Brett X, Emily Scarano, Little Tickler, Svento7, Jay Scramo, A.K. Ashley Ray, Adam Busby, Wendy O'Loughlin, Jason Hawkins, Butthorn, Conrad, Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car, Jose Ruben Cruz Rodriguez, Charlie Friday, Alexis Adler, Emmy, Joe Velez, Valerie, John Collins, Amber McVeigh, Amanda King, Trisha Bueller, Sun, Loving, Mortal, Suzanne Rode, Lauren Waller, Jadinklage Morgoon, Jen Robinson, Kalisha Reeves, Aaron Armstrong, Kevin Strother, Jeanette Murphy, Ashley Powers, Stephen the Fifth, Casey McCain, and Enza. Thank you all so much, and back to the show.
One of my favorite lines is from Dot Matrix. And again, it's a bit they use again in Men in Tights, but she's got to protect the chastity of Princess Vespa. So when her virgin alarm goes off and they start explaining the virgin alarm to the characters.
It's programmed to go off before you do.
That's funny. I chuckled. I like that line. She's talking about ejaculation, Steve.
Yes, of course. I really want to give him props too, because we're gonna talk about John Candy, we're gonna talk about Rick Moranis and all of them, but like I really want to give props to George Wiener, who plays Colonel Sanders.
It's pronounced Wiener.
Is it Wiener?
I don't know. Assuming
it could be. I think he's low key so goddamn
funny.
Who does
he play?
Colonel Sanders.
Oh yeah.
His physical, like he's such a good straight man to Rick Moranis's Dark Helmet. They play off each other so well in this movie. There's the scene when the first space ball gets his nuts crunched. He's like, no, not that, thinking he's going to telepathically choke him.
He
like grabs his nuts. So the whole movie, he's like always like Colonel Sanders is always covering his balls.
Yeah.
But when that first time when he hurts the first space ball, watch Colonel Sanders in that scene. It's so funny. He's just looking off. He like can't watch. He's like looking away like. And he's got like tears in his eyes. It's hilarious. And then just having a character named Colonel Sanders and you throw in the line, what's the matter, Colonel Sanders? Chicken.
My favorite Sanders moment is when, one of my favorite moments in the movie in general, is when Dark Helmet's playing with his dolls.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, pretending like the princess is in love with him.
Oh, I find you strangely attractive, Lord Helmet. Of course you do.
And then he buzzed in. He's like, damn it, why don't you knock? And did you see anything? No, I didn't see you playing with your dolls, sir. Good. It's subtle, but I fucking loved it. It's just a quick Sanders thing, but he played it so straight.
Yeah.
No, sorry, did not see you playing with your dolls again.
Good.
It's so dumb. But also that was me. Like I was probably 13 or 14 when still playing with what I called action figures. Mm-hmm. And I friends would come over to play PlayStation, like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 or whatever. And I would have to slang my Ninja Turtles and Spawn and Ghost Rider action figures off of my bed and then like prop an elbow up like,
don't look over here and my toys.
Just watching TV. Sliders is on. What's up? What are you guys doing? You know what I mean? Just watching Xena Warrior Princess because I'm fucking cool.
Yeah.
You guys want to chill or like I fucking love that shit.
I used to have I had a teddy bear growing up.
Hell yeah.
I slept with that thing until I was 16 years old, baby.
Mine like cuddled it or like it was on the bed?
Both.
Well, yeah.
Like I cuddled it and then it stayed in the bed because
that's where
I cuddled it.
Yeah.
I still have it. It's behind me, actually. It's on the desk there. I don't know if you can see it.
I just see a Vecna. That little teddy?
That little teddy bear.
Oh, yeah.
Look at this thing.
That was your childhood cuddle buddy?
This was my childhood teddy bear.
Yeah. Oh, it's a chubby one.
Yeah.
Oh, it looks old.
It's old as fuck, man. I've had this thing since I was two.
That is crusty.
Yeah. Like, look how, like...
You scared to wash it kind of thing?
Oh, well, I'm scared to wash it, but also like I would rub its arm, this arm specifically. That's why this arm is like so fucking worn out. And
look
at
the like the tag on the bottom.
Yeah, look at that.
Dang.
Yeah. So this is my.
What's
my
its name?
Teddy. Because you know I was a genius. I was a genius 2-year-old.
Yeah, you should have just. It would be weird if it was named Bill or something. I guess.
This is Jeremy.
This is Frank. Gary.
Where it has like a, like, oh, little boy, what's your kid's name? Ozymandias.
Oh, yeah. Freak him out.
What's your teddy's name?
Nietzsche.
Nietzsche. Friedrich Nietzsche.
I guess we got to talk about the Schwartz.
The Schwartz.
The Schwartz.
Like, I see your Schwartz is as big as mine.
It's obviously a dick joke. The Schwartz is a dick joke.
Yeah.
I think Schwartz is like a unit of measurement.
The Schwartz.
Relative to a dick, though. Like, it's a joke.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it's 7.5 inches or something is a Schwartz. I don't know. I went down a rabbit hole with Urban Dictionary. Because it just means, like, dark or black. Like, it's a Yiddish word for that. Because the German word is Schwarz, which is the color black. But it has evolved to be, it's a blatant dick joke in the movie, and I'm guessing it just means that anyway. That's another thing I wouldn't have gotten as a kid.
What is the Schwartz scale? Is a self-report measure of general well-being and physical health. Okay.
Sure.
That's a Schwartz scale.
Yeah. Schwartz scale.
Yeah.
I'm a 7 on the Schwartz. Feeling good.
Feel good.
The Schwartz good. Is inside you. Like, I think that. I don't know. Maybe Schwanz? Is it a Schwanz reference?
I don't know, man.
Because like Ryan Gosling calls his dick a Schwanz in multiple movies. We're just figuring this out in real time.
We're crunching numbers right now.
We didn't do a lot of penis research.
I wasn't expecting to get this deep on the entomology of Schwartz.
Etymology. Entomology is those tree people.
Mm.
The study of them.
Need to have an ent moot.
I still think it's
Schwartz.
Starting an ent podcast is a worthy joke in and of itself, and talking like that for a straight hour.
Welcome to ent moot. Like and subscribe.
We do this joke every 6 months, but I think
brought
it's great.
Brought to you by BetterHelp. Blue Chew. When you have a neighbor that tears down all your friends, therapy might be a good option.
It's about states' rights.
Watch the Lord of the Rings coverage for those.
Oh, I love
deep
those
jokes.
Episodes. Yeah.
What were we talking about? Something about Schwartz?
Penises.
Oh,
it's
penises.
Fine.
Yeah. So, what are your thoughts on the Schwartz in this movie? As a concept. Obviously, it's a play on force. It's a dick joke.
Yeah, yogurt is Yoda. I hate yogurt, even with strawberries. Like, that's...
Yogurt the wise. Yogurt the magnificent. Please, please. I'm just plain yogurt.
I'm glad you get such a tickle out of that. They very much yada, yada, yada the entire the force aspect in this
movie. Oh, yeah. It's a ring. You just need a ring.
Yoda is just like in a tomb sitting there, and then he's just... But it's not even I got that out of a Cracker Jack box, you know. The ring's not even important, even though the ring is important to Dark Helmet. That's right. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And the fact that the Han Solo character has the Force. Again,
could you imagine if Han Solo had the Force? Daddy,
unstoppable.
The galaxy wouldn't be ready.
Unstoppable.
Yeah. My favorite yogurt bit is the branding joke.
Those are
merchandising.
Those are all throughout the movie.
Oh, I know.
Like the Spaceballs placemat at the end.
Spaceballs a placemat. And the Spaceballs diner. The toilet paper.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so funny. But like the whole, when he goes through his little run, like Spaceballs the coloring book, Spaceballs the lunchbox, Spaceballs the flamethrower. The kids love this one. and also the coloring book, and I think the lunchbox too, is just... It's just a Transformers coloring book and Transformers lunch pail with Spaceballs, like a sticker slapped on it.
And they name drop Transformers later, too.
It's a Transformer.
Like, I don't know how that's okay. And they also call out Star Trek specifically.
Yeah, yeah.
Snotty, beam me down. And then he's just walking to the next room.
He legitimately says, like, well, it works on Star Trek.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was, like, taken aback at
that. That's a great gag. The whole, like, he gets beamed over, his ass is backwards.
I didn't know my ass was so big. And they're all snickering.
You like, he takes the opportunity to scratch that itch back there. But then they beam him back, and he just walks. They're in the next room the whole time.
Just the next room. What was the twins thing?
It's a double mint gum joke.
Okay.
Yeah. Because that was, I mean, you have to think.
Oh, like, he's like, chew your gum. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, chew your gum. Double the freshness, double the fun. So
Mel Brooks plays yogurt and Scroob, right?
Yes, correct.
So
apparently,
make sure.
So that he Mel Brooks in the commentary was saying like he found it incredibly difficult to be yogurt because he's got to be in that makeup, which apparently gave him like a really bad rash. So they couldn't shoot all the yogurt scenes back to back to back. Like they would shoot like yogurt scenes one day and then have to take like a week shooting other stuff before they could do yogurt again. Cause he would just
break out
and stuff. And also he's on his knees the whole time, which he was saying, he's like, I wear pads, but I still hurt.
Yeah.
Hurt
I bet it, yeah, it does. But I wear pads and kneel constantly.
All the time. So let's talk about Rick Moranis' Dark Helmet a little bit.
Yeah. The hapless Vader.
He's so good. Cause just watching him sort of, he bounces back between like just being completely impotent and not being as threatening as he is. But then sometimes if you watch him in the background, if you could tell like if he's feeling stupid in the moment, just the way he's looking around like insecurely is so gold. He's so good at this role.
Especially his like animosity toward the president.
Yeah.
It's like, I told you not to keep your face mask down when you're around. I can't tell if you're making faces.
Immediately is sticking his tongue out.
Yeah, and pretends he's just like licking his cheek.
10,000 years of air. The way he's running things, it won't last 100.
Yeah.
What?
What do I do? I can't make a decision. I'm a president. Some good political jokes in there.
And his like relationship, we kind of touched on his relationship with Colonel Sanders, but the whole thing where like he's always giving orders and Colonel Sanders like, prepare to fast forward. Why are you always preparing? Just go.
Sit down, sir.
Nah, buckle this.
Yeah, they've got a fun little duo thing going on. And I love his whole like little man syndrome vibe that they've got pinned onto Vader, where everybody is legitimately terrified of him, but he's also a goof.
Yeah, he's totally inept.
Like his whole entrance is great because he looks stupid as shit with that giant helmet, but they're trying to pretend that it's menacing. Shorts. Yeah. And then
the bow tie, he's wearing not a bow tie. He's just wearing a tie. Yeah. And a necktie.
And they've got like that breathing noise, the iconic Vader breath. And then he's like, I can't breathe in this. So the whole shtick is that like, he just can't breathe in the helmet, which is why he makes that noise. He's struggling.
Yeah.
I think it works really well, especially, you know, Rick Moranis at the time was at the height of his powers. I mean, this is Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves, Honey, We Shrunk the Kids. Mm-hmm. And of course, the cult classic, I am forgetting its name, but it is very famous. It is about a Venus flytrap. It is a musical.
Oh, A Little Shop of Horrors.
Yes, we're talking Little Shop of Horrors. Oh, all of this was around this time, you know. Ghostbusters, right?
Oh, yeah.
He was everywhere.
Are you the gatekeeper? Strange Brew. We got any Strange Brew fans out there?
Oh, I've never seen it.
I've never seen it either, but apparently it's really great.
I bet there's a lot of Strange Brew friends in our Discord.
Is John Candy in it?
I
thought John Candy was in it.
Speaking of Jesus,
Max von Sydow's in that? What the fuck? I've got to watch Strange Brew.
Hey, speaking of Star Wars.
Hell yeah. This will begin to set things right. That's my Max von Sydow from
Star Wars. I thought that was Michael Caine.
My cocaine. My cocaine.
He shall begin to set things right. I wish Michael Caine was in Star Wars.
Could you imagine? Would he be a droid or just like a flummoxed shop owner that just happens to live in the universe? Every time the stormtroopers come down into my shop, I can't sell a single thing.
The taxes are outrageous.
It's outrageous. If I could have one little sit down between me and Mr. Palpatine, I would tell him a thing or two.
Mm-hmm.
I am.
Where's Killian Murphy? He's always near me, I feel like.
Can I tell you something that's going to blow your mind?
Yeah.
Because it blew my mind. So Spaceballs, the movie,
mm-hmm.
much like most movies, also has a novelization. Spaceballs, the book, is what it's called.
I wonder which I think funny is hilarious. That is to read. Probably pretty funny.
Probably. If you look at the writer, the person who actually made the novelization for this movie, it's a writer named Jovial Bob Stein.
He sounds like a happy chap.
No, he's jovial. Mm-hmm. Jovial Bob Stein Kit is also known as, more famously, R.L. Stein.
Fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I didn't know he did anything other than the Goosey Bumps.
Apparently, yeah. Because
there's a lot of Goosey Bumps.
There are a ton of Goosey Bumps. And then whatever that horror series after the Goosebumps he made.
Fear Street.
Is it Fear Street?
Well, there's Fear Street is an R.L. Stein story. That I fucking love those movies on Netflix, by the way. Those horror films, Fear Street trilogy.
But actually, the novelization is famous for one reason, and that is because it actually reveals the names of the Dinks.
Oh, like their actual names. What are their names? Name the Dinks.
Well, I'm glad you asked.
It's time for our newest game show, Name That Dink.
Name That Dink. Is it Rinky Dink? Blinky Dink? Stinky Dink?
Blinkin.
Pinky Dink?
Stinky Dink.
Finky Dink? Or Winky Dink?
Those are all options, or those are all the Dinks?
Those are the Dinks. Those are all the Dink names.
Pinky, Stinky, according to the Rinky, Winky, Blinky.
Rinky, Blinky, Stinky, Pinky, Finky, and Winky.
All right.
Which one of those is your favorite?
I mean, obviously, Rinky Dink. I'm a lover of puns.
Rinky Dink is really good.
That's Rinky Dink.
Yeah, that's my favorite one, too. It's either Rinky or Winky. Winky Dink.
These Jawas are just nice, though. They just hydrate them and lead them to yogurt, right?
Yeah, they're friends of yogurt.
Jawas steal all your shit.
Oh, yeah. They
would have just made off with Dot Matrix.
Houdini! Yeah. But I love how the Dinks are like wearing like bedazzled robes or like shiny, glittery robes. They look very, very cool. And I love
it reminds me of Dune.
I love the pun when the Dinks find our heroes and Lone Star wakes up and he's like, when do we get to Disneyland? Because they're wearing like I assume it's a joke on Fantasia, like the outfit that Mickey Mouse wears. I assume it could be wrong. But yeah. And then, yeah, they take him to yogurt.
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 Just plain yogurt. Is this your favorite of the Mel Brooks movies?
Yes. It's either this or The Producers, the musical Producers.
Because I've seen that.
I'm a huge fan of the musical. I don't really like the movie The Producers, the one from the 70s.
That's the one with 70s, really?
I think maybe I'm wrong on that date, but Gene Wilder's in it.
I thought there was like a Matthew Broderick, Nathan Lane one or something.
That's the musical, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So the musical is based off the movie that came out way earlier. But I
that doesn't count then, right? Or is it a Mel Brooks musical?
It's a Mel Brooks musical as well. He wrote all the. He wrote the songs.
I might be Blazing Saddles.
Oh wow! The original movie, The Producers, is made in 1967.
Wow. Yeah, that was one of his earlier work. I remember we looked it up during Men in Tights. That was one of his earlier works.
Yeah.
I think that was one of his first.
Apparently, speaking of Gene Wilder, apparently Mel Brooks wanted Gene Wilder to play Yogurt.
Oh, that would have been great.
Yeah. Yogurt or President Scroob. Like he says, like the only reason he's both those characters is because he couldn't get Gene Wilder.
Gene said no.
Yeah. But I think Gene Wilder would have been an incredible President Scroob. But I think you need to have Mel Brooks be Yogurt.
Yes.
Like he's the perfect Yogurt.
Yes. The Schwartz.
What a wild.
Oh, that it doesn't even to this moment make sense to me, but that I don't even remember the context, but I lost it because it's so
may the Schwartz be with you. He's just fading out.
I lost it. That was great. But yeah, Gene Wilder would have been a great president for sure.
Absolutely.
The Scroob name would be less cool. Mm-hmm. President Lairdua, his name Wilder backwards. Yeah,
I mean Scroob isn't a direct parallel backwards either, but it's like obviously the last name. But
it's an anagram, not a backwards.
Yeah,
I'm an idiot.
I'm an idiot. I said it was backwards. I'm the idiot one.
No, but then I was like it verified, ran it through my brain. It is
blue check mark.
Who's giving those away?
I was listening to the DVD, or I don't think it was the DVD commentary. I think it was just the documentary. Yeah, I had it in my ear and I heard the ocean. it was the documentary. Bill Pullman was talking about how, so that big yogurt set, when they walk in, you get the statue of yogurt and it's on fire and it's all spooky, right?
Yeah.
Bill Pullman was saying that soundstage they were on where they built that set was the same soundstage that they filmed all of Wizard of Oz in. And that set, the yogurt set, was the last one they filmed on that soundstage before they tore that soundstage down. And so they were saying like how they were like, wow, this is where Wizard of Oz is built. And they were really kind of taking in like the history of being in that place.
Yeah.
But then it got like torn down immediately after they got done filming, I guess, according to the documentary, which is kind of interesting kind of fact. If it was up that
long already, why? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Like, why would you tear down sound stages? They're just big empty buildings, right?
Yeah. Know. Well, if you're going to maybe plant a garden.
The new, like, owner, like, would it be the Warner Brothers set? I forget who distributed this, but they were like, we need a garden. Tear down the historical building.
We need more oxygen in here. You know what this movie made me think
of?
Yeah. That's what we think of. We need some Perrier in this bitch.
Sorry, I have to mention, we can't go through Spaceballs without mentioning how hilarious Dick Van Patten is as King Roland.
Yeah.
I love that. I love Dick Van Patten. He's hilarious. I love that whole bit where he's like, she's driving a Mercedes SL 2001.
Yes,
my cousin owns a dealership in the Valley. He's
got a great deal.
He was very kind to me, but he's like looking around like, you know, that's not true.
He's like, we'll give you, we'll get your daughter back. And he's like, and if it's not too much trouble, you can save the car.
Try to save
the car. It's great. It's a Mercedes.
I love how the first, like,
Job bit too.
We're going to give your daughter back her old nose.
No. And to protect her from that, I will let everyone on my planet die. Mm-hmm. Fair.
I mean,
loves
did you
daughter.
See that nose?
It was, yeah, it was a lot.
Boy, howdy.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, howdy. That would get her in trouble at any Halloween, Spirit of Halloween store.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
You got to pay for that mask.
You got to pay for it. You got to drop money for that one.
Spirit Halloween does not play with theft.
How do you feel about the ending of this movie? So the Spaceballs, they get the code.
She went from suck to blow.
Yeah, and so the Spaceball 1 transforms into a giant robotic maid with a vacuum cleaner.
The Mega Maid.
And it's sucking up all of the air from Druidia. There's even that like Paramount Studios bit where it's the mountain of Paramount that like sucks up all
the snow.
Oh yeah.
And all the trees.
Yeah. And they suck. But who is it? Lone Star, who activates the self-destruct sequence and you can't like change it. And
they've realized you have 10 seconds left to press the reverse button or whatever, but it's out of order.
Yeah. Fuck. Even the future, nothing works.
It's funny. I mean, some of the worst gags, I think, are in the bear. Because they said there's a zoo. Shut down the zoo and the circus. And so now there's like a bearded lady and a fucking bear. And the bear gets the last pod.
Little bear wave.
What's wrong with the seatbelt? I didn't laugh super hard, but it's fun. It's fun to watch. It's fine, you know.
I do love that it leads to the last gag where the
Planet of the Apes.
The Planet of the Apes. And like, Spaceballs. There goes the planet.
Yeah.
Well, shit.
There goes the neighborhood. And they looked really good at first. Like, before they talked, it looked like at least identical to the effects in the original Charlton Heston version.
But conveniently, Lone Star is a certified prince. That's what the medallion on his neck is saying the whole time.
It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, the whole movie's like a bunch of conveniences.
But he's got some liquid Schwartz to put in his gas tank to get to the wedding on time.
Yeah.
He's kind of at the end of Shrek.
Kind of, yeah,
and even there's even like a Lord Farquaad as Prince Valium because he's got the same haircut and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I bet they would laugh the same.
Got if I had hair, I shave my head. But if I didn't, I'd rock the Farquaad.
Would you really?
Don't you think?
Would you put a little, a beret, that little hat he's
on occasion, but not when I'm lounging. Mm. I'd just be Farquaad in it. Put it up in pigtails, tiny pigtails.
I mean,
with some straight bangs.
That time we all dressed up as Misties in that Yellow Jackets episode, and you had that Misty wig, and you were like letting those locks fly.
Yeah.
You were feeling yourself.
It reminded me of when I had long hair.
You should grow your hair out again.
I've got a 6 head. It's not even a 5 head. It looks like we've got Joel McHale at home. That's what I look like. That's what I look like. Joel McHale from Wish.
You should find that type of wig and go out for Halloween.
A Farquaad?
A Farquaad or a Prince Valium.
I've been wondering what to be for Halloween this year, for sure. Mm. We could be President Scroob and Colonel Sanders together.
Who would be Scroob? Who would be Sanders?
I think you'd be Scroob.
I could do the little,
little mustache.
President Scroob.
Yeah, that's the salute.
The little hand
Their salute's hilarious. But I had a really good time revisiting Spaceballs. I want to say that. So thank you so much for choosing this movie. It's the kind of movie nowadays, you know, trying to find content all the time and making all the stuff that we make. I wouldn't think to pull Spaceballs off the old shelf. I wouldn't have. So I'm glad you picked it.
You wouldn't go to Mr. Rental and open up the cabinet and view all the VHS tapes and pick Spaceballs?
Mm-mm. But next week, if I'm correct, is... I say this every time. This is legitimately, this time for sure, I promise you, if I was to make a top 10 list, which I've done for decades, was my number one for many years, or at least the last, you know, it spent 7 or 8 years at my number one spot. Mm-hmm. Our film next week, which is Inglourious Basterds from Quentin Tarantino. We have a special guest coming on to discuss the film with us. So I'm hyped for that. And yeah, so very much looking forward to that conversation. And follow us on all our social medias. Email the show at streamingthingspod@gmail.com. And if you want to make us watch a movie or be a member of these, you know, get all these cool inside jokes on the Discord, go to patreon.com/streamingthings. Or if you could, if you want to support the show for free, and it takes like 30 seconds, just rate and review the show wherever you're listening to this. That helps us out a lot in the algorithms, you know?
And Kit, there might be some fun changes happening to the show in the very, very near future.
Maybe.
Do we want to talk about those at all?
Which ones are we talking about?
Just the strike ending.
My new outfit?
The strike ending.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was talking about the onesie that I got. The momper. No, we're hoping, you know, you're listening to this on what, Wednesday?
Yes,
so
Wednesday.
We may have gotten some great news. I said this last week. I'm not a superstitious man. I don't think I jinxed it, but we're recording this on Sunday. The AMPTP and SAG-AFTRA are meeting again for their scheduled meeting tomorrow, Monday. And they scheduled the Monday meeting last Wednesday with a Friday negotiation in between. So it feels like they're making some progress, and they knew that they were making headway. And so they had already scheduled the denouement, if you will. So hopefully a new contract is waiting on being verified and ratified as you're listening to this. But again, I'm not an expert at all. I just cannot imagine that
you're not in the prediction business.
No, I think as we're listening to this, as we're recording this, the odds seem pretty high, if I'm being a hopeful person, which I typically am, that the strike will be over or almost there. And so back to Lost coverage.
Yes.
So we'll be doing Lost and our patron demanded movie each week for the foreseeable future, with the occasional, you know, hey, we watched this show that just came out, we loved it, let's do a whole episode talking about the season or our thoughts on it or whatever. Kind of like how we review a movie. We'll spend a half an hour giving overall thoughts, and then we'll get into some spoiler discussions on maybe a whole season of television. I'm not sure. We'll be taking votes and emails and requests on what big thing to cover less next instead of or in addition to Lost. But we're going to finish season one of Lost, see where we're at with that, and make plans for the future. That's the plan for now.
Oh, yeah. Exciting.
Exciting stuff. But until then, I've got to go return some videotapes. My name is Kit.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things. Happy streaming.
Baseballs.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.